welcome to Drive Through HR, the internet's number one HR talk show, coming to you every day at noon to 12:30 or 12:45, depending on the conversation. Today we are joined by Andrew Godomsky and Jerry Crispin, two of my absolute favorite gentlemen in the space. And if you're wondering who I am Crystal Miller, one of the four co-hosts of Drive Through HR. So, Andrew, Jerry, hey guys.
Hey.
So glad that you can join us today. I kind of feel like both of you are HR famous and everyone should know who you are. But on the off chance that someone does not know who you are, why don't we do some introductions? Let's go by alphabetical order. Andrew, tell us who you are.
Sure. Thanks, Crystal. Andrew Godomsky, founder of Aspen Advisors, and we're a data analytics and human capital consulting business based out of New York. We work with large-scale, maybe Fortune 100 businesses and large-scale human resource outsourcing providers, the RPOs. And we do the back-end data analytics for those two types of organizations and share as much of that information with the world as we possibly can.
Awesome. And Jerry? I mean, again,
so I'm just a geek that admires a lot of the data that goes on. I'm fascinated by it, and I'm a lifelong student of staffing. I do work on occasion with Mark Mailer and Chris Hoyt, and we created a number of years ago the Career Crossroads, which has morphed into basically a peer-to-peer platform for the last 10, 12 years. And so large companies, staffing leaders, have an opportunity to kind of engage each other in an interesting way and share their best practices, talk about what keeps them up at night, challenge each other on what the hell they're doing currently, and just having a good time generally.
Well, I think that's kind of everybody's ideal, right? Love what you do, love where you do it, love who you do it with.
Exactly.
Oh, well, speaking of the Love Fest of employment, we're going to talk a little bit about candidate experience and the Love Fest that we want it to be. There's some data that goes behind all of this, and it's seriously cool. Jerry, do you want to kind of kick off this conversation and how candidate experience actually is a data-driven conversation?
Yeah, well, it certainly wasn't for many, many years, and for most of us, we certainly had our opinions, our good common sense, and occasionally a few data points from a variety of different points of view. But a few years ago, 5 years ago, it was we started getting together and bringing together a group of volunteers. Andrew was one of the early players and a heavy contributor, particularly in the beginning, to help us ensure that we were on the right track. But fundamentally, our goal was to stop just talking about our opinions and start putting some numbers and data together in relation to it. And the first issue, really, is you can't quite do it by yourself. You have to kind of do it in a collaborative way. So one of the things we did very early on was send out a survey to a large number of companies just saying whether you would be willing to share the touch points that you use when you engage candidates and work with them throughout the recruiting process. Would you be willing to share that information openly? And secondly, would you be willing to actually look in the mirror and ask your candidates to confirm that what you think you do is really what you do? Asking those kinds of questions can get pretty involved and tedious, and I know that Andrew and I both spent many, many hours arguing over just how do you collect this kind of information, even if people are willing to give it to you. So that was the start, and we're now in our fifth year, and it's exploding not only in the United States, but it's in the midst of being done in Europe right now, with close to 100 companies being involved and another 50 in Australia.
Okay, that kind of sounds like the big banana. That is seriously cool. Sorry, I had to work banana into a sentence. It didn't really take. I apologize to both of you. Andrew, Andrew, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think where we've advanced it, and I think this is really, we've got this great foundation with a number of leaders like Jerry and Elaine and, all the members of the candidate experience, plus, how it's been accepted by, dozens of leaders globally. And what we're starting to do, and we've been doing it now for the past 18 months, is really weave that engagement data that comes from candidates, whether it's yearly, but in our case it's daily, where we're weaving that directly into operational data. So we're actually seeing how is the candidate experience, impacting quality of hire directly, with the operational data right alongside it. How is the hiring manager experience and its ratings and its promotion impacting the quality of the hire, the speed of the hire, the quality of the candidates? And so I think where the industry has quickly moved, Crystal, is we've gotten very sophisticated around asking for feedback and how does that actually translate into how we operate, and it's really exciting to see that happen.
So what is the data telling you guys? I mean, what telling us? When you look at the data, what do you see is the most important factor in impacting candidate experience, or is there just one?
Not one. You want to go first there, Andrew?
So you're asking what's the big kahuna, right? I mean, I love to tell you there's like one silver bullet, right? The fact is there's probably about 24 or 25 really good bullets you can talk about, Crystal. But I think one of the things that we've learned is that the patterns associated with candidate experience really are about the hiring managers themselves, is that companies don't have tendencies or trends. Groups of hiring managers do. And it's a good so the moral of the story is you have to know your hiring managers and how they work as a group and make sure that they're well-informed on the candidate experience and they're tuned to what their behaviors are so they can go ahead and model other good behaviors and move forward from there. I think we found over the year that being myopic and understanding how groups of managers are interacting is actually one of the key things that we're finding.
So I'll take it a different way, Crystal, because obviously the hiring manager is a critical component, certainly one of the key stakeholders. But at the same time, when we look at the broad range of what's going on in recruiting, the hiring manager comes in at a particular point, and very often in many companies, while they may impact how recruiters are operating and certainly are influencing a lot of the entire supply chain, they fundamentally don't have touch points with the candidates as often or until they get to a particular point in the process. So what we're able to look at, and I think increasingly able with the help of teams that we now have in various universities and a couple of the individual efforts to take the data and put it together in a much more academic sense, I believe that we will end up finding that there are four or five key factors and are really just trends, collections of practices that are executed on by companies in a lot of unique and individual ways. But I believe that all of those practices are going to fit into four or five key areas. One of them has to do with how you listen as an employer to your candidates. You mentioned, Andrew mentioned early on the ability to gather a lot more data and better understand what's going on with the candidates that they look for. That whole issue of how we actively listen to candidates about what their needs are and then begin to deliver that through a series of expectations. So those two pieces are pillars, I think, is understanding the audience. And this is not rocket science, by the way, but very few companies actually practice listening skills with candidates in terms of asking them about their experience and getting information that helps them understand how candidates make decisions. So that's a key issue. Setting those expectations in terms of not just what the job will be like if you get hired, but what is the process that we're going through like? And really setting clear expectations around that. The third is holding accountable the recruiters and the function for the candidate experience. It's like what you measure is what people will attend to. This is not, again, rocket science, but if candidate experience is not important to the company, I can assure you candidates will rate the company lower. If candidate experience is important to the company and you include in performance rating your recruiters, information about how they're doing in treating candidates, I can assure you the ratings of candidates will go up measurably.
Absolutely.
And the last really is influencing this perception on the part of candidates that your recruiting process is fair, that whether you get hired or not, you sort of got screwed on the same level as everybody else, or you lucked out on the same level as everybody else. And that perception is probably the strongest correlation from a statistical point of view.
It's interesting, Crystal, because the detail that you can get to on some of the data can really point out some of the actions that Jerry's talking about. The concept of active listening, as an example, we see really strong spikes in ratings in the interview and in the screening sections of survey, or we also see operational data improvements around the interview staging, simply if companies have hiring managers that consistently have a printed resume, use structured questions, take notes during the interview. Those types of behaviors produce more active listening, and as a result, are impacting scores in response around the interview and screening behaviors. It's very, very specific.
Absolutely. When you start getting down to specific, you can even talk about the impact of making sure that at each touch point you ask the question of what didn't I ask you to the candidate, giving them the opportunity to tell you something that is on their mind about why they came in and applied and are interested in your company that you didn't think of and may or may not impact some of your selection or assessment. But the reality is, whether you're hiring the person or whether you're not hiring the person, you have to embrace the possibility that each of them is going to have an impact on your recruiting function and your company's performance long term. And in the past, we've only focused on our capability of hiring the best candidate versus the 185 or 184 other candidates that we didn't hire, and their impact on our organization because of how they touched recruiting. So this is, a whole new view of how we look at recruiting in a much more holistic way. And I think it's going to be very powerful, especially as we get, as Andrew pointed out, to some of these operational areas that have clear impact. And when you look at the stories that come up at the symposium next week, for example, there are some extraordinary things that are going on among those companies whose candidate experience ratings are increasing significantly. And they're, I think, demonstrating that a lot of companies are beginning to make some significant improvements in how they communicate transparently information about their company that helps the candidate make better decisions.
So that's a lot to take in, and I think it's really helpful for everyone to hear, right? So it's one of those things that we unintentionally miss a lot of data in the recruiting process. But when you get to the point that as an organization you say, okay, I really want to make sure that we're not only getting the best data, we're paying attention to the data in a way that allows us to make the best decisions for our company as far as hires to go, you know, like with each interview process, but also so that we can create a more intentional candidate experience. What are the data pieces that they need to be looking at? Like, what's the step one, step two, step three to setting up that process?
Well, I think one of the issues, and certainly I think Andrew is an expert in this area, is you really have to decide the quality of the data that you want to collect. If you're not collecting representative data, if you're just simply accepting data from somebody who just got ticked off, you need to know that, but that's a one-off piece of information. You need to collect data in an intentional and representative way for the job families, the locations, the facilities, the areas that you want. And in order to do that, you have to have an intentional campaign and approach to doing that. So it may be by survey, it may be by a focus group, it may be a continuous process, it may be once in a long while. And where you start probably depends a lot on your resources, what you've done in the past, and the indication that you have about the performance of your operation to begin with. Small companies with little resources, et cetera, need to start wherever they can. And it might be that they're starting with the people that they hire by doing a focus group. But I got to tell you, that's not a place to stop. You need to back into all of the people who became finalists and better understand the extent to which any of those finalists may, in fact, want to come back and be hired in the future. And then you need to back off to all those who didn't become finalists but who are building experience and knowledge and skill that might make them competitive for future jobs. And then you got to ask yourself, why are all those unqualified people actually applying to my company? What is it that I'm doing that's engaging them when I shouldn't be? Because I still want them as customers, but I sure as heck am not going to be moving forward and haven't moved forward with their application. So there's a lot to collect, and I will tell you that is step one, but it is a choice that you build on.
Yeah, you almost want to start with measuring experience or engagement data really should be done at the same interval that you also collect and review operational data. So if your business is in the habit of pulling reports together and reviewing performance of recruiters or leaders or how things are going downstream on a monthly basis, that should be your first avenue to say, we really should be looking at experience data from our hiring managers, from our recruiters, from our candidates at that same interval, right? Make it part of the agenda, right? And then at least becomes normalized, because you now made it part of the operating structure or the operating system. I think sometimes we work with customers and, you know, they're like, well, we want to measure companies, you know, candidates every day. And they do, right? They've got basically a Fitbit for their candidates and their hiring managers constantly going off. And we're collecting that data every day, but that doesn't mean that we let them review it every day. If their cadence is to review their operation every week, they get to see the data every week. If it's to operate every month, they get to see it every month. So they make it part of their regular management stream. Normalizing it is the first step, I think.
Well, it also depends upon, again, your resources. And clearly, if you don't have a lot of resources, you can still do exactly what Andrew is doing, simply by incorporating, and I'll give you one example. I know Airbnb incorporates for each of their recruiters a link to a survey asking about the experience you just had. And that is built into the signature of every single recruiter. So every time they contact a candidate, either by indicating to them that the job is filled or that they have dispositioned them, that they're not going forward or whatever it might be, it's an opportunity for those individuals to click on that link and go to SurveyMonkey and do something that's very inexpensive, very cheap. And it's not perfect from a statistics point of view, but I got to tell you, it's $0.
Yeah,
and in an ongoing way, they're getting feedback and information. If you have the resources to be able to do it in a much more formalized way, I know that Capital One, for example, within 3 days of closing every job, engages every single candidate who applied for every job that month. And fundamentally, they're asking 10,000 candidates a month with 50% or higher response rates that give them the kind of data that helps them to analyze where they are with that. The one question that I think should be the first question that is asked, and I think there are exceptions, but I think one of the things that we really should be looking at is an index for health. And right now, I think the one of the best ways of doing that is using a net promoter score type approach in asking the candidate, based on what they experienced, would they be willing to refer or interested in referring others to apply to your company? The answer to that kind of question has, the ability to bench against other surveys being done that way, particularly the some of the work that Andrew's doing and others who are sharing data publicly.
Yeah, I would say, Crystal, that we see a similar experience. We have one of our RPO organizations that has full-on engagement data running every day for one of their customers. There's messaging. Every single message that comes automated out of the ATFs invites people to a survey. It's on the bottom of every signature of every email from the recruiters. It's on every piece of paper that they get, you know, when they're at the interview. It says, you know, here's your agenda for the day. Don't forget to give us feedback. They've made it part of their culture. And, you know, like Capital One, I would imagine, their engagement rate's very, very high. And they're literally, you know, thousands of people a week are responding and giving not, you know, a look backwards. They're giving an active response of how they felt that day or how they felt later in the day. And then they have the ability to come back and actually change those responses or add to those responses as they go. And I will tell you, that kind of culture changes the way that that organization really thinks and makes them very customer service oriented. I mean, wildly customer service oriented. So it's very exciting to see that kind of engagement.
Second thing, though, to answer your question, Crystal, is I think the second thing is to really sit and map out some of the key touch points that you're learning are important to the candidate. So, for example, the candidate would like to know when the position is closed. At what point do you promise them, you set expectations that at some point in this process, we will let you know if, in fact, we've filled the job, and then deliver on that. So the extent to which you make set expectations and then deliver on those promises is a core component of what you need to do. And if you're not willing to do those things, you're just kidding yourself about candidate experience. Because it's not so much about making people happy as it is about helping them to make choices and decisions about this job and their career and their lives. So I'm convinced that by mapping some of the key touch points that are critical for your candidates and capable of being dealt with from your company, I think are critical. And that mm-hmm. includes curating some of the content that you know about your job that the candidate wants to know. So if people who come into this job is a high-volume, high-turnover kind of job, you may want to tell people what the average tenure is in that kind of job and where people go after that job. You may want to share a little more information about the salary range of a job. That's pretty much for many studies is the number one thing that a candidate wants to know, and no one tells them. So, you know, until we're willing to be transparent at the level that the stakeholders want, companies will be struggling to improve their candidate experience. But the companies that are doing it now are showing huge increases in those engagement scores.
Yeah.
Now, don't you think that most – hold on 1 second. I'm going to jump in here. Don't you think that most organizations would say stakeholders want it all? Candidates want to know everything, and there's no way to please them. Therefore, why try?
Those are companies who haven't asked their stakeholders, their candidates, anything.
They haven't engaged.
To know it all.
They want to know
specific things, and it's usually things that companies are unwilling to tell them.
Yeah.
You know, okay. But it's a cultural issue for the United States, not really a problem for the company, for the individual. You know, if you were looking for a job today, one of the things you'd like to know is what the level of compensation that would be. You know, and obviously, if I were your coach, I could help you figure out how to do that, even if the company doesn't tell you.
Right.
But how do you feel about the company that in a systematic way, hides data that's important for you to make a decision on?
Absolutely.
We all have to start, you know, facing into. When you do ask your specific candidates for specific jobs about the kind of information that helps them make decisions to apply in the first place, to move forward in the process, to accept your offer, then you've got an ability to map what is going to be important. And candidates are more than willing, and we're seeing it in our data. I know Andrew's seeing it as his. Candidates are more than willing to prioritize some of those things in terms of what's more important than others. Easy to find. We're just not doing it. 5-10% of the companies out there are doing it. And now what's happening, I think, with Candidate Experience Symposium, with resources and tools like Andrew's, we're seeing more opportunity for companies to do more of these kinds of things. And as a result, they're getting better engagement scores for the recruiting process, and that's following up in their engagement scores for their employees. We're going to increasingly demonstrate that this is in the best interest of the company.
Yeah, it is harder work. It is diligent work, and it is hard work to really kind of jump off into this. I think there's a little bit of a misnomer in the market that anybody can throw up a survey and then I have candidate experience. The short answer is no, you don't. But you have it as a survey. If you want to increase the candidate experience, it requires understanding where you are, understanding the behaviors that the teams have for the stakeholders. What's acceptable, what's a high level of integrity for your particular business, and then making a stand on, we're going to do this each time because it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And if that means that in our job descriptions, they're going to look good, they're going to be informative, they're going to talk about compensation, they're going to talk about career path. Well, the majority of job descriptions usually fail on some of those things. Just by doing something as simple as that, your candidate experience is just better than others. Something that simple. And it's so crazy in the market, I think that, but the hard part is going to legal, going to compensation, can we put this out here? Can we have those conversations? It's good for our business.
So I think what we're trying to do is curate that kind of information, collect the data, but curate then the kinds of practices that actually are driving some of that data.
Mm-hmm.
And so increasingly by collecting from a large group of companies that are participating, for example, in the Candidate Experience Awards or working with Andrew and others who are helping those companies do this on a much more frequent basis, we're basically able to make correlations between the specific practices that are working and how they're being used. And that's extraordinarily powerful. I think it's changing the game.
Yeah.
Data-driven recruiting is where it's going to be. And the candidate is one of those stakeholders that we need the information on. As Andrew pointed out early on, it's not just the candidate. It's also the hiring manager. It's every stakeholder who has a connection to the process. Their experience, and that's a recruiter's experience as well, and a recruiting leader and a business leader, all of those we need to map and understand their needs so that we can find and maximize the connections between them.
Well, I agree with all of those things. So, way to carry the conversation, guys. There wasn't a whole lot for me to say there. But looking at what's coming next, so say you are a Capital One-esque company or some of the other Cameo Experience Award winners that will be highlighted next week. If you haven't gotten your tickets, it's not too late to do so. I'm going to mess up the website. Jerry, where do they go to get the tickets for the event?
I don't know. HR. that was the question.
Org.
I'm the worst person to ask about that, but I'm sure Kevin is listening to this going, oh, no, don't tell him. Go to thecandes.org, you know, thecandes.org, and I'm sure that there's something there that will help you find the right link.
Right.
Perfect. Dwayne actually just sent it to me in a message, and I'm sure is shaking his head again. Aren't you glad that I lead up branding and awareness? but go, yeah, thetalentboard.org. You can go there. You can get your tickets. So what? Back to the question at hand. What do we do if you're already one of those cutting edge companies? What do they do to push the needle? What's next?
What's next? For,
yeah.
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear you fully. Was that for the companies already there?
Yeah, like for companies that are considered to be leaders in the space, how are they continuing?
No, but what the companies who are leaders in the space will never stop. They're the one characteristic of all of the companies, and there are eight or nine companies who this year, among the 50 that will be honored next week, there are nine of them whose net promoter scores are literally off the charts. And what that implies is that the people they don't hire are raving fans, going out of their way to encourage others to apply to the company. So they've got ambassadors running all over the place. And at the same time, I could tell you if you got them up, they would be unsatisfied with where they are and be focused on how they take the information they've got and iterate that to the next level. That really is the characteristic of anybody who is focused on excellence at the highest level, is that they're never satisfied with where they are.
Yeah.
And it is moving. I mean, the reality is there are things that are happening within our society that allow for us to have greater transparency looking into corporations. So on any given day, you love Amazon or you find out something about Amazon that makes you uncomfortable and you have to deal with that. Or it's Chase Manhattan or it's Citigroup or it's Walmart or it's whatever. So we're in a world in which things shift and change very rapidly, and people who are not flexible in handling how you need to tweak your practices from a recruiting point of view are going to be left behind. So it is that intensity that's going to keep us all on edge. That's what the best companies have.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll echo what Jerry's saying, and I'll add to it this way, is I think the companies that are doing a really strong job is the visibility around the experience around employment from several stakeholders, right? Hiring manager, recruiter, candidate, contingent labor, right, has escalated and become part of the goals and objectives of the senior level teams. And they're starting to realize that how critical it is to take care of the people and have that transparency and have the understand that there's velocity of data coming at them that tells them how they're doing. And so the companies that I think are doing a really nice job of this have escalated this to the highest levels and made it important there. And then it's been not forced down, it's been accepted all the way down. And companies need to start thinking about foundational goals and objectives around experiences. And that then advances this to make it part of their culture intrinsically.
Let me give you a clear example of what Andrew's talking about too. You know, I think what you're going to see next is more innovation. So one of the companies, I'm not going to mention the name of the company, I'll let them talk about it next week, but one of the companies, for example, is collecting data that suggested that candidates were concerned that their claims that they developed people were not as real as they might be, or as real as they should be, or as real as they could be. And if you think about it, most companies make claims that they're going to develop their people, but very few actually prove it. So this company basically heard the message from the candidates and installed on their career site a promotion ticker. And in essence, every single time a promotion takes place in the company, a description of that appears on the career site, and that gets aggregated and archived so that candidates can not only see the claim, but they can see how the claim is being executed in the corporation on a daily basis. I find that fascinating. I find that truly innovating, because what it does is it combines that issue of how well you're listening to now becoming more transparent and allowing for that kind of information to come out. I think that's powerful, and I believe that you can begin to connect the sequence of those kinds of things to how people are now rating you and the extent to which they're now referring others and the extent to which they're reapplying and the extent to which they're buying and using your product.
Yeah, I'll tell you that another innovation that we're playing with, and it's in beta, is because we know the experience ratings of how people feel and how they're being rated at a business level or at a job family, we're starting to actually weave those scores and those ratings directly into job descriptions that are posted in those job families or in those locations. So as the candidates actually come to the job spec, they can get a rating on how people are being treated as a candidate for those types of jobs specifically in that location. Very similar to the way that TripAdvisor or Yelp reviews a restaurant. You can review the hiring managers and you can review the actual job and the people around interviewing that job right there in the spec. I mean, that's what's next. That kind of stuff is in the market with consumer. Of course it's going to move into recruiting. That's how innovative I think, you know, people like Jerry and Ed and everybody else has kind of started from, is we've made it consumable, right?
Well, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see more about that particular feature. So you said that's in beta now. When do you expect it'll be ready for widespread release?
Well, it kind of depends on the job boards that we're working with, but we'll see if we can get it out before the end of the year. But I think 2016 is a no-brainer.
Awesome. Well, that'll be something really, really, really intriguing to look forward to, and we'll have to have you back on to talk more about that. All right, so we've got about 6 minutes left. What final words do you want to leave people with? So if someone were listening today and they got nothing but this, you would be happy. What would that be? Jerry?
I would be happy if people realized that, or in some way, shape, or form, went out and measured the health of their candidate experience. They did it in any way, shape, or, you know, any way that we described during the course of the last 45 minutes, but basically spent a little more time listening to their candidates directly, as opposed to reading articles about millennials, as opposed to anything else that they could do that's more generic. I think they should get to roll up their sleeves and go ask candidates what they got or what they didn't get. Worst case, in a small company with new hires, go ask the people you hired in the last 3 months to sit in a room and tell you what that experience was like now that they're, you know, employees and they're working and you want the criticism. That would be great. It would be also great to be able to get that from people you didn't hire, but that's okay. We'll get you there. We'll get you there eventually.
That's for sure.
Yeah, you just, yeah, I would say almost the same thing. Get started with something. Make an activity around this. But maybe my takeaway is don't be afraid of this, right? It's not going to be all high remarks and high scores, and know that. But that's where the good stuff is. That's where the action can be to make the company even better than it is. So embrace that. Don't be afraid of starting something. Be ready that you can take action. That's probably my takeaway.
I think those are both really strong takeaways. I mean, for me, when I look at it, it starts with be who you are. Be the company that you are, not the company that you want to be or you want people to think that you will be or whatever, right? We see a lot of really, really misleading advertisements and attractions to jobs and to companies that, I think, start off a bad candidate experience. So,
agreed.
You know, if you can just start with telling people who you are, even if that makes some people select out of your process, I think that's still a win. Because if they're selecting out of your process, it's for a reason, you know. But I think that we've got a lot to do and a really good place to go to be able to find out what to do next or how to get started if you haven't already is to go to the Candidate Symposium. It's in Fort Worth next week, September 30th through October 2nd. You can get tickets from thecandies.org, the talentboard.org. Go there, check it out. If you can't make it to the symposium, follow the tweet stream at #TheCandies, TheCandies. Andrew, Jerry, y'all were great, great today. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope that we will see you next week, Jerry. And Andrew, I hope we get the opportunity to see you again soon.
Of course. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you. Talk to you later. All right,
bye-bye. Take care, everybody.